How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 131 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network and onto iTunes. Search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there and leave a review. Once you're on that page also, find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site. Find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Wednesday show here now, the Thunder play. I'm recording this Tuesday night. I'm in New Orleans. I got in this morning. I had a long connecting from Salt Lake to New Orleans. The travel just, like, it really kills you when they have these long road trips and these months where, like, I feel like I'm never in Oklahoma City. I'm on a train every other day, every 3 days. And I don't even have to play basketball games. So you know that they're tired. They got to be tired. Even after the couple of days off, they got to be tired right now. But they have one more on the road, and then they're finally playing at home. They're going to play Dallas Thursday at home. First time they're playing at home in more than 2 weeks, which is crazy that they went that long in the middle of January without having a home game. But they're going to go January 11th through January 26th between home games. The last time they played at home was that game when they beat Memphis. They've played five straight on the road with some off days thrown in there in between. A lot of road games. Anyway, Pelicans on Wednesday night. I'm going to do a quick show today just because I have some other business to attend to. So I apologize. I know normally I go around that 20-minute marker when it's just me. Today I'm going to be a little bit shorter than that. Let's talk some Pelicans first, and then I'll take a couple of questions. Pelicans are they're a weird team because you'd think from some of their personnel and even from just Alvin Gentry and Alvin Gentry's history that they would be higher ranked in offense and lower ranked in defense than they are. They're actually the number 8 defense as of the time I'm recording this right now. Now, by the time you listen to this on Wednesday morning, might be a little bit changed, but they're a top 10 defense. Jrue Holiday is a really good defensive player. You know, Anthony Davis. What's interesting about Anthony Davis as a defender, and they're playing him at the 5 now. He's not really strictly a 4. He's more of a 5 now than he was a 4, which is going to be really interesting come, you know, when people talk about All-League and all the, you know, All-NBA awards and that kind of stuff, whether he ends up getting there, because he's obviously going to make one of the teams, whether it's first team, second team, whatever it is. He's obviously making one of them. And it's going to be really interesting to see if he gets on as a center, if Marc Gasol gets on as, like, first team center, and Boogie Cousins gets on as first team center, and he's, you know, a second team forward or a second team center, because you can kind of work him in both ways. It's kind of an advantage for him because he could slip in as a center, or he could slip in as a forward, and it might prop him up a team. It's possible, because he probably would not make it as a forward. I should say, he would make a team. He wouldn't make first team as a forward, because that's going to go to LeBron and Durant, or maybe even LeBron and Kawhi. Those are your two options, or your three options for those two spots, and I think all three of those guys are going to be ahead of Anthony Davis, if only because the Pelicans are 18 and 27. And those guys are all playing for really, really, really good teams, and having tremendous years on them. But maybe he slides into that first-team center spot. Maybe Gasol gets second-team, gets third-team. Boogie Cousins gets second-team, gets third-team, something like that. A lot of good centers. And the top of the forward position is just outrageously strong. So that is going to be an interesting thing to see where he slides in. Similar thing for Andre Robertson with Defensive Player of the Year. He's got a little, or actually, all-defense team. He's made himself a better chance because he starts at small forward. But he guards really twos and ones so often that I think you can easily justify putting him as a guard on your all-defense team. So he basically could slide into four spots. And, like, he starts at small forward. First-team all-defense is probably going to be Kawhi and Draymond. But Andre has a chance at first-team because he could be a guard on that team, even though he starts at small forward because of that because of that versatility and because he's gone back and forth and because you could really make an argument that he's either position, even though he technically starts at small forward. So, interesting thing that always plays. It was always a thing with Tim Duncan. Whenever you're talking about all league with Duncan, is he fitting as a forward? Is he fitting as a center? And something with a lot of other guys too. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Anyway, Pelicans are weird. Their defense, even though statistically it's good, it is prone to stink in the joint up sometimes. They gave up 143 points to the Nets, which was such a weird game. Like the weirdest of games. They're also prone to some strong ones. I mean, look, they gave up 143 to the Nets, and they lost by, 29 points or whatever it was. They turn around next game, their most recent game, they just beat the Cavs. Beat the Cavs 124-122, and Terrence Jones has 36, and Drew Holiday has 33, and Anthony Davis doesn't even play in the game, and they beat Cleveland. So they've got potential to be a better team than their record says that they are. But they're so inconsistent on a night-to-night basis, it's still kind of hard to say exactly, pin down exactly what they are at this point in the season, even though we're more than halfway in. The Thunder really ran all over them last time they were here in New Orleans. They did the same in Oklahoma City. Alex Abrines had a big game last time. Enes Kanter had a big game last time. That was at the end of December. I think it was December 22nd. That was really the start of this hot Kanter streak. And this is a team where Billy Donovan really likes using the Adams-Kanter lineup. He's done that in each of the first two times they played. Now with Steven Adams back, he played on Monday against Utah coming back from the concussion. Bet you'll see some of that in New Orleans too with those two big guys getting a decent amount of time together because Billy Donovan has seemed to like some of the success that he's had with those two guys playing together against New Orleans. New Orleans is a little bit different now. They play Davis at the five more than they did earlier in the year. They go a little smaller, they play a little faster, but it'll be an interesting matchup. It's a game the Thunder should win, even though it's on the road, even though they just played in Utah. It's a game they should win. I would actually say, even though it's a road game, this is a game that they should win, more so than the Dallas game on Thursday. Dallas game on Thursday feels like the most classic of trap games you can possibly have to me. It really does. Second night of, like, it's a home game against Dallas, who isn't good, but second night of a back-to-back, following a six-game road trip, And the next two games after that are Cleveland and San Antonio. So it would be so easy just to overlook Dallas. And I'm not saying that the Thunder players are going out there. Like, I don't think Thunder, like athletes, for the most part, some of them do. But collectively, disciplined teams aren't necessarily going out there and saying, oh, they're not good, so I don't have to play hard. It's not a conscious decision. They're just going out there and being like, oh, they're not good, I don't play hard. But after you've been on the road for such a long time, you played six on the road, it's your first home game in 15 days. It's kind of the basketball equivalent of just kind of, so when I get home from a road trip, when anybody gets home from a work trip, you go home, you sit on your couch, and you just lie out for 5 minutes. They'll do the proverbial lie out for 5 minutes on the couch in a game. I'm not saying they will, but they could. I could see that happening. It's a plausible scenario. So don't be shocked if that Dallas game goes weird, but independently of context, they should win the New Orleans game, and they should win the Dallas game. These should be two wins, especially after coming off a really strong win at Utah. One of the best wins of the year on Monday, where they played really well. All right, Twitter question time. Nascimento City wants to know, are the Thunder missing Deion Waiters and Serge Ibaka? I mean, look, would they be a little bit better if they had Deion Waiters coming off their bench? First of all, I know Deion Waiters had comfortably the best game of his season yesterday, and that game winner... The greatest part, I think we can all agree, was the celebration after he hit that game winner against Golden State. Like, the crossed arms was awesome. And his Instagram stories are fantastic. The ones with his kid is adorable. And the ones with his kid always make me laugh. They're great. And I like Deion Waiters personally. But they had to renounce Deion Waiters. If Deion Waiters were to accept that qualifying offer, and there's a decent chance that he would have, because he ended up getting a little under $3 million a year, and that qualifying offer was, I think, upwards of $6 million. So if he accepts that qualifying offer, if all of a sudden the Thunder aren't under the cap enough to extend Russell Westbrook, they had to renounce Deion Waiters, or else they're sitting with a lame duck Russell Westbrook year. And that's a problem. So are they missing Deion Waiters? I mean, yeah, I guess. Like, it would be nice if they could have an extra ball handler coming off the bench who could guard a little bit on the ball like Waiters can. But is there anything they could have done about that in a practical world to where they would have actually been able to retain him? No, there's not. And to add to that, I mean, it's not like Waiters is having the most efficient season. As for Ibaka, I mean, Ibaka's having a real down year in Orlando. That was a heist. That front office in Orlando could be in trouble. That was a heist. I mean, getting Oladipo and then flipping Ilyasova for Jeremy Grant and getting Sabonis, who I think is going to be a really, really, really useful player. That was a heist. I wouldn't say they're really missing Ibaka. I don't know how much money Ibaka is going to get this offseason. People still talk about him like Orlando should trade him because why would they have to give him a big deal this offseason with the way he's playing? Based on just my own eyes and my own logic and based on conversations I've had with people who are smarter than me, I'm not convinced Ibaka's going to get a ton of money anyway. Now, someone will probably give him something. I'm not saying he's not getting a contract or anything. But it's not like he's going to get this big contract everybody thought he was at the start of the year with the way he's been playing this year. So, I think Presti traded Ibaka at the right time. I think that was a really, really strong move. Probably the best trade Sam Presti's ever made. Which is a hard thing to say so definitively so soon after a deal. But I think I can say pretty confidently, I think, that's probably the best trade that he ever made. Next up, I'm going to take one final Twitter question. This one's from Kyle Platt, who once complained to me that I don't take enough of his questions, but now I've taken his questions on two podcasts in a row. So he thinks Billy has a legit case for Coach of the Year, and he wants to know if I do. How many wins do you think would be necessary to get him there? And then he went on a five-tweet spiel about Billy Donovan versus Fred Hoiberg. And now the two were compared, and Hoiberg is somewhat lost parts of the team in Chicago, and Billy Donovan has stayed stable. I think Billy Donovan's a good coach. If you listen to this podcast, you know that I think Billy Donovan is a good coach. He's a really smart guy. He is going to give me carpal tunnel from all the transcribing that I have to do because he talks a lot. But when he talks in those press conferences, when you talk to him individually, like you can tell why he's a good coach because he's such a good teacher and he's so patient. Like, he'll get a bad question every once in a while, which, like, will make my head want to explode, and he will give the most respectful and thorough and patient answer. He's a really, really, really patient guy, and he's really, really good at explaining things. And I realize I just did a Billy Donovan thing by saying really, really. He's, like, incepted me. The other day, somebody asked me a question. I said, in terms of which is a Billy Donovan thing, and I realized that's Billy coming into my mind and me copying his mannerisms because I'm just around him every day at this point. He's a good coach. That being said, I think Coach of the Year right now is Greg Popovich. Now, there's the conventional argument, and Zach Lowe talked about this on his podcast. I don't know if I'll have a vote either. I don't know if I get a vote on this. I think the way you find this stuff out is they just kind of send you the ballot. They're like, okay, vote on it. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I get a vote. And you can have votes on one award and not have vote on another award and so on. You know, you can have an MVP vote and not have a Coach of the Year vote, or have a Coach of the Year and not have an MVP. So I don't know. I don't know where I'll fall on that. But just in my opinion, I think it's Greg Popovich. And it's beyond the easy argument, which is Greg Popovich is the best coach, so give it to Greg Popovich. I think it's beyond that. Like, the Spurs had tons of roster turnover. I thought their defense was going to totally fall off. And it's fallen off a little. Like, it's not, like, historically incredible this year, but it's still elite. It's one of the best defenses in the league. Part of that is because Kawhi Leonard is unbelievable, but part of that is just they lost guys. Tony Parker is down. Manu's not quite as good. You can exploit Powell and David Lee in the pick and roll, and still, like, they keep playing 780 basketball. It's an amazing thing to watch. They're going to win 60 games again. I think it's Popovich. Mike D'Antoni has a great argument. You want to say it's Mike D'Antoni? I won't strongly disagree with you. I think that's a perfectly supportable point. Look, there are a lot of good coaches in the league now. Like, you look through there, this is kind of a gold, we talk about it as a golden age for point guards. It's kind of a golden age for coaches, too. It's really hard to win Coach of the Year. Like, go through it. Lou is a good coach in Cleveland. Casey's a good coach in Toronto. Stevens is a good coach in Boston. Budenholzer is a good coach in Atlanta. Scott Brooks, I think, is doing, I mean, look, he still has his things that he gets criticized for, but he's turning stuff around in Washington. Clifford in Charlotte. Vogel in Orlando, Kidd in Milwaukee, Stan Van in Detroit. This is just the Eastern Conference. I think Brett Brown, you know, we're still learning about Brett Brown, but I think he's a good coach. Spoelstra in Miami. Kenny Atkinson, people love Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn. It's hard to tell with this roster, but people love him. You got Curry, you got Popovich, you got D'Antoni, you got Doc Rivers, you got Quinn Snyder. Fizdale's doing a great job. Mike Malone, people really respect. Terry Stotts, people really respect. Dave Yeager, everybody loved in Memphis until, well, maybe Memphis didn't love him, but everybody thought he did a great job in Memphis last year. Now he's been sunk by Sacramento. Tibbs in Minnesota and Carlisle in Dallas. You got really good coaches in the league. And then there's Billy. It's really hard to win Coach of the Year right now. There are a lot of guys who are really, 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 really good at their jobs. So it's not a knock to say that a guy isn't necessarily Coach of the Year. I think Billy's done a good job. He's done a good job with the defense. He's good at in-game adjustments. He's a very unstubborn coach. I think he's got his flaws as a coach, too. In some ways, the interesting similarity between Billy and Russell is that some of what leads to their flaws is also what leads to what makes them really good. You know, with Russell, it's the recklessness, which when he's not going well is what hurts him. And when he's going well is what hurts his opponents. And with Billy, I think it's the immediate willingness to adjust. Sometimes he can adjust himself out of something that would work. Sometimes that's how he finds the things that do work. And it worked great in the playoffs last year. It was amazing in the playoffs. That's when I was like, oh, Billy Donovan's a good coach. But there are just too many good candidates. There are too many good ones. So I don't think Billy's in there. But I certainly think he's good at his job. You remember I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. Head on to iTunes and subscribe to Lockdown Thunder. Questions, comments, email lockdownthunder@gmail.com or find me on Twitter @FredKatz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road. That's my blog on the site. You can follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Back with you tomorrow. Following the New Orleans game, I'll be talking about whatever the heck happens in New Orleans. But until then, Locked on Thunder is locking up.